On July 18th, 2007, 55-year-old Barbara Bollick set out on a hike to her favorite overlook in Montana's Bitterroot National Forest with a family friend. It was a trail she knew by heart and had hiked countless times before. But during the hike, Barbara disappeared without a trace. According to the only witness, she was about 20 to 30 feet behind him when he turned away for less than a minute, and when he looked back, she was gone. Despite extensive searches, investigators found no sign of Barbara, no evidence of what happened, and no clear answers. More than 19 years later, her disappearance remains one of Montana's most baffling unsolved mysteries. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. Okay, so when we get into the specifics of Barbara's case, you're very quickly going to see why this is one of Montana's biggest mysteries. That said, I will say there's not a lot of possibilities here. It's not endless, right? This was a trail that had some witnesses at the end of it, and you would have expected to see other people if there were other scenarios we should consider. That'll make more sense when we get into the actual episode. But overall, when we get into the perspective later, we're going to go over some different scenarios, and there's going to be a hierarchy, but in my mind, there's really only one or two situations that occurred here, and I'm going to be really interested to hear what you guys think, because I know sometimes when I dive into these cases, I leave them with a certain opinion, although I try not to influence you guys too much until the end. And yet this is one that I could be easily persuaded. I actually was discussing this case with our editor, Shannon, and she brought up some things that I didn't think of. And it kind of changed my mind on some of the scenarios I was going to discuss. And so this is one of those cases where now that I've done all the research, now that I've looked into it, I do have an opinion on what I think happened here. However, if someone came back with a strong debate, I could change my mind, and maybe that'll be one of you guys in the comment section. Who knows? So we have a lot to cover. Let's dive into this week's case. Barbara Assunta was born on August 25th, 1951. Now, unfortunately, very little is known publicly about her early life. What we do know is that in 1993, at 42 years old, she married 52-year-old Carl Bollick, an Air Force veteran who worked as an international security officer for J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Now, we know for sure that this was Carl's second marriage, and it's unclear whether Barbara had been married before. I didn't find anything to say that she was, but they did get married later in life, so is it possible she had a previous serious relationship? Absolutely. And we do know that Carl had children from his previous relationship, and if Barbara did have a serious relationship before Carl, she did not. In 2001, Carl retired, and the couple decided to move to Montana, where Carl was from. They settled in Corvallis, a small town in the Bitterroot Valley, and Barbara immediately fell in love with the area. She spent as much time outdoors as she could, running and hiking through the mountains. Before long, she had explored nearly every canyon and every trail in the area, but her favorite was Bear Creek Overlook, a 5-mile round-trip hike in the Bitterroot National Forest. Anytime friends or family came to visit, Barbara made sure to take them up there. Carl often joined her on those hikes, but after suffering a heart attack in the early mid-2000s, he wasn't able to anymore. But Barbara continued going on her own. Standing about 5 feet tall and weighing approximately 115 pounds, she carried a .357 Magnum while hiking just in case she encountered a bear or a mountain lion. But hiking wasn't Barbara's only hobby. She was very busy. She was learning to fly, she had recently taken up skiing, and she and Carl also loved to travel and had already planned a cruise through the Mexican Riviera, which was planned for the fall of 2007. But sadly, Barbara would never make that trip. In mid-July of 2007, Carl's cousin Donna came to visit with her 58-year-old boyfriend, Jim. And I'll say right now, the last names of these people, it's out there. You can easily find it. Just a quick search. It's right there. There's been other YouTube channels and podcasts that have talked about this case as well. I've chosen not to say their last names. I am going to talk about certain people in a light that may not look good, but I'm going to hold back the last names for the podcast because at this point, no one has been charged with the crime and no one has even been named a person of interest. So out of respect for these people, I'm going to keep their last names out of it. But that's just my personal choice. So Donna and Jim come up to visit, and on July 17th, the four of them spent the evening together, eating, drinking, and enjoying each other's company. Before the night was over, Barbara made plans to take Donna and Jim to the Bear Creek Overlook the following morning, and they expected to be gone for just a few hours. When everyone woke up on July 18th, Donna was too hungover to make the hike, but Jim decided to go anyway. So sometime between approximately 8:30 and 9 a.m., Barbara went into her bedroom to let Carl, who was still in bed, know that they were leaving. She was wearing khaki shorts, a pastel blouse, and carrying a black day pack with her gun inside. Jim was going to drive, so Barbara left behind her cell phone, wallet, ID, and cash. Barbara and Carl had a quick conversation about the hike, and as she exited the door, she said, "I'll see you later." But Carl would never see his wife again. He spent the morning working on a carpentry project. Then at around noon, Donna started wondering why Barbara and Jim hadn't returned yet. But Carl wasn't concerned. He knew that Barbara could take care of herself. You have to remember that Barbara was an experienced hiker and she was carrying a gun. She also never strayed from the trail and disliked heights, so she never got too close to the dangerous ledges. He didn't think there was much to worry about at the time, and he tried to convey that to Donna. By 1:30 p.m., they still weren't back, and Donna was becoming increasingly anxious, but Carl tried to reassure her that everything was fine and maybe they had just gotten a flat tire or something like that. But then another hour passed, and at that point, Donna was convinced something was wrong, and she urged Carl to call someone. But before he would even have a chance to do that, his phone rang. On the other end was a U.S. Forest Service officer asking if his wife's name was Barbara. Carl immediately feared the worst as he said yes. The officer told him that Barbara had been reported missing. Carl said he would head up to the trailhead immediately to help look for her, and then he began the approximately 20-mile, 45-minute drive. When Carl arrived at the trailhead, the officer explained what happened. And when we start to get into those details, I think that's where some of you are going to start scratching your heads. That's where things get blurry, and I think most of you are going to have differing opinions on what it all means. We're going to talk about it right after the break. You've heard me talk about Hungry Root before, so you know how much I love it because it truly simplifies my life as a busy parent who works a lot of hours. It's been such a game changer when it comes to reaching my health goals by doing all of my weekly food shopping with Hungry Root. And the thing that I love about Hungry Root is that it plans all of my meals and groceries for the week, fills my car, and delivers everything I'll need to eat healthy every single day, all while fitting my health goals, dietary preferences, and most importantly, my budget. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about Hungry Root, and I told you that I had tried this trout dish, and although I love the dish, I didn't necessarily love trout in general, so I got the same thing, but this time I swapped it out and I did salmon with it. And so again, I had the slow churned lemon and peppercorn pasture butter on salmon with brown rice. Spot on, exactly what I wanted to do. Ever since I talked about the meal a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, I really wish I could do that one over again because with salmon, I think it's a home run and I'm happy to report that I was right. And then for dessert, I did another one of those Hue Kitchen organic cashew butter and dark chocolate bars. I'm not gonna lie to you, I actually did two of them. I bought a whole variety pack, all their different flavors. They're phenomenal. And to know that they're better for you, that kind of tips the scale for me. So love the meals, they taste great. And I love that it allows me to try new things in specific recipes to give it the best chance. And if I don't like it, I can always swap things out and do what I normally do. But I've been exposed to so many different new foods and snacks that I never knew about before. And that was only because of Hungry Root. And Hungry Root holds all of its food to high standards, screening out over 200 additives, including high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. They source only high quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, and offer organic produce and non-GMO options. They also carry trusted healthy brands like Oatly, Vital Farms, Ithaca Hummus, Harmless Harvest, and many more. I absolutely love Hungry Root. I think you will as well. So for a limited time, you can get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. All you have to do is go to hungryroot.com/detective and use my code detective. That's hungryroot.com/detective, code detective, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. Go check it out. All right, so we're back. And before the break, I was talking about how Carl just received one of the worst phone calls you can get, right? His significant other is missing. And now he has this 45-minute drive ahead of him where I'm sure there's a million thoughts running through his mind. So while he's making that drive, let's go back a little bit, okay? Earlier that morning, a Forest Service road crew had arrived to replace a culvert less than a mile from the trailhead. When they got there, they noticed two vehicles already parked at the road closure sign. You had Jim's vehicle and a light-colored SUV, possibly a Chevy Blazer, with Missoula County license plates. Now, as the crew began digging up the roadway, two young men, both appearing to be in their early 20s, walked through the construction site with a black collie-like dog that had white markings on it. One man had black hair with dark skin. The other had light skin, reddish hair, and a clean-cut appearance, and he also had an athletic build. They both stopped to talk with the crew for a short period of time before leaving, and according to the crew, nothing about the encounter stood out. And so these two men leave, and approximately 45 minutes to an hour later, Jim appears, and he walks up to the construction site, and he asks the crew if any of them have seen Barbara. No one had. So he says, you know what, I'm going to walk back up to the overlook and check one last time. About an hour and a half later, he returns back to the construction site and he tells the crew that he searched the area, but he couldn't find Barbara anywhere. So at that point, they contacted the U.S. Forest Service. And when an officer arrived, Jim said that he and Barbara had stopped at the overlook to have a snack. And while they were up there, they also saw two young men. And according to Jim, they exchanged a brief greeting saying something along the lines of like, how you doing? And that was really it. They went their separate ways. Jim went on to say that he and Barbara spent approximately 30 to 40 minutes enjoying the view before deciding to head back down the trail at approximately 11:35 a.m. Now, again, this is all according to Jim. He says that Barbara was only 20 to 30 feet away from him when he decided to turn back and look one last time at the scenery. And that glance, according to him, lasted only approximately 45 seconds to maybe a minute. And when Jim turned back around, Barbara was gone. He told investigators that he searched the trail over and over, even blowing his whistle in an attempt to get her attention, but he couldn't find her. So that's when he decided to go to the construction site and ask for additional help. And there is some speculation, some theories about whether or not Barbara was even on the trail at all that day. And people have gone as far as saying, is it possible that when Jim came out of the trail and initially spoke with the construction crew, that maybe one of them mentioned seeing these two young males, and that's how Jim knew about them, not because he had actually seen them or interacted with them. And I have a pretty strong opinion about that, but I'll save it for the perspective. And so a wide-scale search for Barbara began at 5 p.m. Helicopters and Ravalli County search and rescue volunteers combed the hillsides while Carl remained at the trailhead, hoping they'd find Barbara or at least some sign of what had happened. But they found nothing. There was no sign of Barbara, her clothing, her day pack, or the .357 Magnum she carried while hiking. They also found no evidence of a struggle, foul play, or animal activity. To put it simply, there was nothing. And this really shocked searchers, investigators, and loved ones, because Barbara knew the trail well enough that if she had wandered off of it, she would have been able to find her way back. And it was very unlikely that she was out there and she had just lost her sense of direction. As I mentioned earlier, this was her favorite trail and one that she was extremely familiar with. And it wasn't just that Barbara was familiar with the area. We're going to throw pictures up throughout this episode if you're watching on YouTube, but for those of you who are listening on audio, this wasn't the type of trail where a person would take a wrong turn and they would get lost. It wasn't surrounded by dense trees, and on the ground, it was covered with loose shale, meaning it was pretty noisy. And investigators actually said that it would be hard to creep around quietly and not make any noise. I'm sure you guys are feeling the same way that I was feeling at this point. The whole situation, it just didn't make a lot of sense. Regardless, investigators told the public that they were not suspecting foul play at this point, and they continued searching for Barbara. But with no sign of her anywhere, investigators turned to the public for help. They said they wanted to identify the two young men who had been hiking with the black and white dog. And so they released descriptions of both men, including a sketch of one of them, and they also released images of a similar dog and vehicle. But here's the crazy part. No one came forward. Not the men or anybody who could identify them. That was surprising to me. You know, there's part of me that believes these guys were more than likely local. And even if they didn't have access to a television or a newspaper, you would think that someone in their circle would have said, yeah, that's so-and-so. I mean, it was a pretty specific description about not only the guys, but also the dog and then the vehicle. All that together, I thought for sure, as I was reading this story for the first time, that these two were going to be an important part of this case. And yet, to this very day, we have no idea who they are. And you can go two ways with that. Is that because it just was bad luck? Or is it because they didn't want to be found? And so the large-scale search continued for about a week, but there was still no sign of Barbara anywhere. So at that point, investigators made the difficult decision to scale back the search and shift their focus to a more traditional investigative process. And unfortunately, even though we tried to find everything we could, very little information about the actual investigation has ever been released. We know that detectives briefly considered Carl as a person of interest before ruling him out because he had spent the entire morning with his cousin, which was approximately 45 minutes away. They also looked into Jim, who cooperated with investigators the entire time by sitting down and going through multiple interviews. Then, a few days after Barbara's disappearance, Jim and Donna left Montana as originally planned, and they returned to their home in California. But even after returning home, Jim continued cooperating with investigators through phone calls. And as far as I can tell, Jim didn't really speak with the media at that time. However, we know that in his interviews, he maintained his innocence, saying he had absolutely nothing to do with Barbara's disappearance, and he would reiterate the fact that he was just as baffled as everyone else. As you can imagine, everyone was kind of looking at him with a side eye because, as I kind of teased in the beginning of this episode, his account of what happened the seconds before Barbara disappeared, there's some holes in it. There's some questions that you have there that we really haven't gotten the answers to. They just don't make a lot of sense. I think many of us have either hiked or been on walks with friends or family members or neighbors, and just the specifics of what he described and how it all went down, it sounds more like a movie than a reality. Is it really bad luck, or is it just a shitty alibi? Does it sound terrible because it's not true, or was Jim just at the wrong place at the wrong time? If you go online, it's mixed, right? It really is. And I have, through my own process, I am now leaning one specific way, and I'm definitely going to share that with you guys, although please come to your own conclusions. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit to the first weekend of August. Investigators at this point were no closer to finding Barbara, so they brought in six search dog teams to the Overlook area. They were out there all day. They were searching everywhere you can think of, but once again, they came up with nothing. And so with very little leads to go on, Carl and a missing persons nonprofit offered a $15,000 reward for information leading to the identification and contact of the two young men who had been hiking with the black and white dog. You see, investigators believed identifying those men was the key to the case. And they told the media that the assumption was the pair were more than likely locals because they were driving a vehicle with Missoula County license plates and they were hiking on a weekday morning. So this is more than likely a situation where they had been there before. This was something they were familiar with and maybe something they did often. And at the same time, detectives made it very clear that they did not believe these men were involved in Barbara's disappearance. Instead, they hoped the men could confirm Barbara had actually been on the trail that morning. And of course, because of that statement, it led many to question if investigators thought that Jim was responsible. But when pushed on this, they continued to describe Jim as cooperative. One investigator even said, quote, "Until something else happens, we find Barbara or find her body, I think he's just a witness. I want to be fair to Jim. There's no evidence he did anything to Barbara." But investigators also acknowledged one important fact. Jim was the only person who claimed to have seen Barbara at the Overlook. We got more to talk about, including my perspective, right after the break. If you've tried to quit vaping or smoking and keep ending up right where you started, you need to hear about Fume. Fume is a flavored air device designed to help people quit smoking or vaping by breaking that hand-to-mouth pattern. No nicotine, no batteries, no vapor, just clean, natural flavors and a fidget-friendly design that actually feels good to use. And so if you've ever tried to quit before and you just didn't stick to it, that's not necessarily on you. Maybe you just didn't have the right tools. I keep the Fume in the office all the time. It looks great. It feels great. It has a nice weighted design to it. Real metal, real wood. And I've said this a million times. I'm a fidgeter. You probably see me with my pen all the time on the wide shot. But I also love the Fume. Even if I'm not using it, I like the magnets. Really like the magnets. I also have the little clicking, but I do have to be careful when I'm recording because this mic is super sensitive. They also have some great flavors. My personal favorite is orange vanilla, but I've heard a lot of people in the comments say that they really like the raspberry. So there's a choice for everybody. Whatever your preference is, they got you covered. And listen, we've all seen it before, right? When you try to break a bad habit, first week or two, you're fine. Then by week three, week four, you start negotiating with yourself. Now you're trying to come up with compromises. And before you know it, you're back to where you started. And part of it is just like muscle memory, what you're used to. And that's where Fume really steps up because it helps replace that motion and routine without falling back into that old pattern. Over a million people have already used Fume to quit differently. So join them today and grab a journey pack plus a free gift with your purchase when you use my code DETECTIVE. Addiction is really good at saying later. Don't let it. Head to tryfume.com right now. That's tryfume.com and use code DETECTIVE to get a free gift with your first purchase. Thank you to Fume for sponsoring this episode. We've all gone through very difficult times. Maybe it was a breakup, burnout at work, or even just that creeping anxiety that doesn't let you sleep at night and you're laying there thinking, I wish I had someone to talk to who actually gets it. And listen, I've definitely been there. I've talked to you guys before. I've been in some dark times, and that was when I had to turn to professional help to get me out of that rut. So I've seen how powerful therapy can be, not only for me, but for my friends, for my family, for people that were close to me and they were struggling and needed help and they couldn't do it on their own. But let's be honest for a second. Getting access to the right therapist, it can be a nightmare. You call around, people aren't taking new clients, they're not in your network, or it costs a fortune. And that's where Rula comes in. Rula is really changing the game. They make high-quality mental health care accessible and affordable, and most people pay only $15 a session, and they take most major insurance. You answer a few quick questions, and then Rula helps you find a licensed professional who meets your preferences, and you can be talking to someone as soon as the next day. And by the way, Rula has over 15,000 therapists and psychiatrists in their network. So no wait lists, no frustrating back and forth. Rula makes it easy to find a mental health care provider who's accepting new patients, and appointments are available as soon as tomorrow. Plus, Rula sticks with you throughout your journey, checking in to make sure your care is helping you move forward. So if you've been thinking about therapy, or even if this is the first time you're considering it, this is your sign. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. So visit Rula.com/detective to get started today. That's RULA.com/detective. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget. All right, so we're back from break, and as you would imagine, there's a lot of speculation surrounding Jim right now, and he knows it. And there's a couple ways you can look at this, because his description of what happened, it's not very good. And so on one hand, it could just be a really rare set of circumstances that just makes him look bad, and just it's just bad luck on his part. And then on the other side, you have to ask yourself if he's lying, because this story is so unbelievable, it can't be true. But then I pose the question to you guys, let's say he is lying. You couldn't come up with a better story than that. This doesn't seem like a very viable scenario. You're hiking with one other person. Common sense says that you're going to stick together, not only because it's a social thing, you're going to be talking to each other, but also as a safety measure, right? You want to stay close together. If there's big animals that come around, you seem like a bigger object and maybe something that they wouldn't attack. You also can keep eyes on each other. If one of you get hurt or have a medical issue that is unexpected. So there's a variety of reasons where you would want to stay close together. But in order to create a world where Jim can claim that he truly doesn't know what's going on, he has to create physical distance between him and Barbara. And without a really good explanation as to why they would have separated, the best he can come up with is, oh, she was ahead of me, and I happened to look back to just see this beautiful scenery one last time, even though, according to him, they had been up there for 30 to 40 minutes already. And so, yeah, maybe when he was done kind of conjuring up an excuse, this is what he landed on. I want you guys to pause the episode right now. And before I get to my perspective, let me know what you think. And then after I give my perspective, you can see if I sway you or not. But I don't want you to be influenced by me. Tell me what's going through your thoughts and which way you're leaning. Okay, so let's fast forward again to December of 2007, where more than 5 months had passed since Barbara disappeared. Investigators still had no significant leads, and they were baffled by the fact that the two hikers hadn't been identified or come forward, especially since they weren't considered suspects and could have collected the reward if they really wanted to, but they never did. And so for the next 6 years, very little information was publicly released about Barbara's case. Then in 2014, the Missoula Independent published a lengthy article explaining the case. By then, investigators said they hadn't ruled out any possibility. Barbara could have chosen to leave, or she may have fallen, she could have become injured, and somehow she was missed during all these extensive searches. Or there's also a chance that foul play was involved. At this point, they really just had no idea. As for Jim, investigators said that while he was initially considered a person of interest, the department had, quote, for the most part, ruled him out. How they did that, I have no clue. Carl also spoke to The Independent, and he shared new details. He said he didn't want to speculate about Jim's status as a person of interest. However, he wished investigators had accepted Jim's offer to take a polygraph examination before leaving Montana. Carl said, quote, I think they could have done more with him early on before he had the opportunity to get in touch with a lawyer. Carl also revealed that Donna had called regularly during the first 3 weeks after Barbara disappeared to ask if there were any new developments. But then Donna suggested to another family member that maybe Barbara had taken her own life. And that really upset Carl, and he would no longer maintain a relationship with Donna or Jim. And I can understand where he's coming from. He feels like he knows his wife better than anybody else. So just even the notion that Barbara would have killed herself when, in his mind, she was full of life and had a lot to look forward to. I mean, they had all these plans. It's not even in the realm of possibilities that she would do something like this. And even the suggestion of it, in his mind, was extremely disrespectful. And it's unfortunate that he cut ties with Donna and Jim, because Jim especially, he's the last connection you have to whatever happened to Barbara. So for that reason alone, I would have tried to maintain a relationship with them. The Independent also contacted Donna, and when they did, she immediately asked whether there had been any news about Barbara. When they said no, she declined to discuss her estranged relationship with Carl and expressed frustration over the lack of answers in Barbara's disappearance. Jim also spoke with the newspaper, repeating what he had told investigators from the beginning. "I've never laid a hand on Barbara. I've never harmed her in any way." He went on to say he sympathized with Barbara's family and wished he knew what had happened to her. He also acknowledged how difficult it had been living under suspicion, saying, quote, "I've had a cloud over my head since 2007. Unfortunately, after that article, very little additional information was released. The next major update came in 2021, when unfortunately, Carl passed away at 80 years old, never knowing what happened to his wife. Then in 2023, investigators told NBC Montana that the search for Barbara was still ongoing. But unfortunately, that's the last update we have. Today, more than 19 years later, Barbara remains missing, leaving everyone asking the same questions. What happened at Bear Creek Overlook, and where is Barbara Bolick? All right, so let's dive into this perspective, and I want to apologize right from the start if I jump around a little bit, because as I was writing my notes, I was jumping around in my head, and then I had a conversation with Shannon, which I mentioned earlier, which caused me to scratch some things out and consider some other possibilities, and so what I'm left with is something that looks like notes, but I don't think you could read it if you were sitting here right now, so I'm going to do my best to keep it clear and concise, but this may not be my best perspective. We'll just say that, but let's give it a shot. So I want to start with the theories, right? And then we can dive into the potential suspects in those theories. But the first one for me, and this is the least likely in my opinion, would be that there was an accident, right? That Jim and Barbara were together, and within a 45 second to a minute period, Barbara hurt herself. She fell off the trail or hurt her ankle or whatever it might be. Because if that were the case, as I mentioned, there's a lot of shale right there. You would have heard something. You would have more than likely heard Barbara scream, right? Help me, something, absolutely nothing. And he was only 20 to 30 feet away from her. So that's really not that far. So if she had had an accident at that moment, Jim would have known it. And I don't think that Barbara would have left him behind intentionally or veered off the trail without acknowledging him first and saying, hey, just a heads up, I'm going to do this or I'm going to go this way. Nothing. According to Jim, and that's all we have to go off of, he saw her, he turned back. Less than a minute later, he looks back down where she should have been and she's gone. To me, that kind of takes out of the equation that this was an accident. If everything that Jim is saying is accurate, I don't think it's possible. The second scenario after an accident would be that this was all planned by Barbara. She wanted to go up to the trail, and at some point during this hike, she was going to disappear and make it look like an accident and have Jim be the witness that she just vanished and he could go back and tell people and she would make sure that she was never found. She would have an escape route. She would know where she was going. And she was going to disappear and start a new life. And maybe in the process of doing that, she got hurt. And that's why we haven't found her since. Or maybe she accomplished exactly what she wanted. She was able to get away. And she's out there somewhere right now, living the rest of her life. The problem with that scenario, and Shannon was the one who brought this up to me, if that were the plan all along, why not do it when she's alone? It's a lot stronger that way, right? And you don't implicate an innocent man. As I said at the top of the show, she had hiked this trail many times alone. So she could have gone up there by herself, left in the morning, not returned, and now nobody knows anything. It's an even bigger mystery because she goes into that trail where her car is and she's never seen or heard from again. But she decides to go this route. She decides to wait until she has an independent party with her where she's walking in front of Jim intentionally, waiting for a moment when he's distracted. And as soon as he is, she runs off the trail and she does it in a way where she doesn't make a single noise that he can follow. This is why it's at the lower end of my spectrum as far as possibilities, because there's a lot of things that would have occurred here with not really making a lot of sense for this to be a viable scenario. On top of that, I would like to think that at this point, Carl would have came forward, even though he's no longer with us, and said at some point that there were struggles in the marriage and she was maybe having some identity crises and wanted to get away. And yet there's been no reports of that. And as we also talked about earlier, there is another angle to this where some people believe Barbara walked off and took her own life. But to the people who knew her best, including Carl, they think that idea is outrageous. And without knowing Barbara personally, like they did, who am I to dispute what they believe? Which brings us to the more viable scenarios, the first one including these two men and their potential involvement. There's a big question mark over them, right? Because we're talking 19 years later at this point, never identified, never came forward. And I alluded to the fact that maybe that was intentional, right? We think we know that these guys were locals. We think we know that the plate was Missoula County. Is it possible that the witness who reported that got it wrong and that these weren't locals and that they were just passing through? Sure. You would still think that at some point, someone would have got wind about what had happened and said, yeah, I know those two. That's so-and-so. And yet we have nothing. So it's either the worst luck you can imagine, or these guys don't want to be found. And if it's that they don't want to be found, then that means they're involved. But here's the issue with that. Again, according to Jim, he saw these guys. They didn't do anything. They said, hello, how you doing? And they went on their way. And if that's the case, it's from the horse's mouth. He's saying they had nothing to do with it because they left and he still had eyes on Barbara. Now, is there a scenario where when he turned around for the 45 seconds to a minute that one of these guys or both of these guys swooped in and grabbed her and took her off the trail before he even noticed, like you would see in a movie? I was saying to Shannon on the phone, it would have to be like that movie, A Quiet Place, where they turn one way and the monsters just come across and grab the person. And then by the time they turn back, they're gone. That's literally what it would have to be. And they would have to do all of that without making a single noise. I don't see how that's possible. On top of that, if they did attack her, it would have to be perfect. Because if there was any struggle, as you guys know, she had a 357 Magnum on her. Pulls it out, shoots him, or even if she misses, Jim would have heard something. So we would have to believe, if they're responsible, they were lurking along the trail, and as soon as Jim turned around and looked back, one or both of them grabbed her, covered her mouth, pulled her into like a bush or some type of tree line, a rock, whatever it was. And Jim's just out there screaming, whistling, and they're nowhere to be found. And they're within only like feet of him, but yet he doesn't find them. And if you somehow believe that, then you have to answer the question, how did they do whatever they did to her, dispose of her body so that it would never be found, and still get back in front of Jim so that they would come out of the trail and see the construction workers before he did? And then one more wrinkle to this, if these two individuals are the bad guys, why Barbara and not Jim? Why not take them both out? Why would they attack Barbara and run the risk that Jim could have seen them and intervened or whatever? Why wouldn't they just get the drop on both of them? To me, there is no reasonable explanation for that. If these two were the guys, I don't think we find Jim or Barbara. That's my opinion, but let me know. I'm not saying I'm ruling them out completely, and the fact that we've never found them does raise some questions, but I've told you guys multiple times before, I have had experiences where we were out looking for a witness, and we had video, we had photo, we had descriptions, and we never found them. And then months later, somehow I'm driving down the road or another colleague is in a restaurant, and we see the person. And we approach that person and they go, wait, what? You're looking for us? I had no idea. It happens. So we're talking back in 2007. Technology isn't what it is today. Is it possible that these guys just didn't have access to media? Maybe. Maybe it really is just that. Maybe it's just really bad luck on the part of the investigation. And without these guys, we're really left with a lot of unanswered questions. The biggest one being, did they actually see Barbara with Jim on that mountain? And I do want to talk about that because hypothetically, let's say these guys come forward tomorrow and they say, yeah, we remember seeing Jim, but we never saw a woman. Major problem for Jim. He's in a bad spot. We can all agree on that. He's got problems. But even if they say that exactly what Jim described was true, where they were at this overlook and they came upon Barbara and Jim and everything seemed fine, that still doesn't clear Jim, in my opinion, right? All it does is confirm that Jim, in fact, saw them before whatever happened. And so it's still possible that even if Barbara was on that trail, Jim did something to her after the fact. I don't think it exonerates him. I don't think it clears him. And I'll also say that if I had to guess, I would say that Jim and Barbara did see these two gentlemen. I think that's absolutely true. Why? There's no way in hell at this point Jim's going to know whether or not these two people are going to come forward later and discredit his account. It would be a massive risk to tell law enforcement that you saw these two guys while you were with Barbara if that wasn't true. Because if they come forward and they say you're lying, you're done. So I think there's truth to what Jim's saying here. I think he did, in fact, see these two guys with Barbara at the overlook, and whatever happened after that, that's where we're back in the gray area. So if these guys aren't involved, these two individuals aren't involved, if they did come forward and confirm that Barbara was there, I don't really know if that helps us solve the case. It just narrows down the window. Because if they say that they saw her, then any possibility that during the drive up to the trail, being the time when something occurred, because there are people who believe that Barbara never made it to that trail, something occurred before then, and then maybe that's why she was never found. She was dumped before Jim got there. Well, that goes out the window if there's an eyewitness who puts her at the overlook. So that's the only thing where it helps, where we can narrow down the potential locations where Barbara might have been. And then also on top of that, if we can confirm that she wasn't on the mountain, well, then now your suspect pulls down to one, and that's Jim, because according to him, they went to the trail. Which brings us to the last scenario, which I think is the most prominent, and that involves Jim. And unfortunately, if Jim wasn't involved, I'm sure he wouldn't like to hear this, but at the same time, he can probably understand where I'm coming from, because based on what we know, the math isn't mathing. It's just not adding up for me. There's pockets in there during that last account of those final moments that don't make a lot of sense. The first thing, and I've already mentioned this, you were up on that overlook for 40 minutes. What are you expecting to see that one last look back? And then also, 40 seconds is a long time. 45 seconds to a minute to just turn around and just look. It seems a little theatrical to me. I've looked back at something just to get one last glimpse, and that's exactly what it is, a glimpse. And yet you want us to believe that you turned around and had no awareness of what was going on behind you for almost a full minute. Which brings us to the fact that I find it odd that Barbara and Jim were not walking together. They're a partnership at this point. There's only two of them. It's not like it's a group. I think most of you out there would agree with me when I say, if I was walking or hiking with someone, I'm going to walk next to them. I'm going to be with them the whole time. Not only for safety reasons, but also because it's makes sense. It's sociable. It's human nature to stand next to the person you're walking with if you like them. So to think that they were 20 to 30 feet apart, I need an explanation for that. I need to understand why there was that distance. Because the only thing that I can come to is that Jim needed a moment where he could say, I have a reasonable excuse as to why I don't know what happened. Even though the excuse itself doesn't make a lot of sense. But for some reason, they were apart, which offers Jim an opportunity to say, this is why I don't know what happened. And as I said earlier, maybe that was the best he could come up with. Because if he had said, I stayed at the Overlook. She decided to go down. That would be odd as well. So nothing he said was going to make a lot of sense. And maybe he thought this was the best approach to say, yep, I looked back one last time and she vanished. So that's a problem. The distance between them, the fact that he looked back for 45 seconds to a minute, all of this just creates a perfect environment for Barbara to disappear. And you have to ask if that's just a convenient coincidence for Jim. And to add on to the whole Jim theory, and I really want to get your opinions on this one because I'm not a big hiker, but according to Jim, he comes down the trail, he meets with the construction crew, he doesn't know where Barbara is, and at that point he asks them, they say, yep, we haven't seen her. I would think that's the point where you call law enforcement right then and there, and then maybe you go back into the woods, but at minimum you call there. But that's not what he decided to do. He goes back up the trail, back to the Overlook, and he's gone another hour and a half. So without knowing what happened in that window, it also leaves a lot of questions. Was he looking for Barbara, or was he tying up some loose ends? We'll never know. But I do want to say one thing about Jim, because at this point, there is no evidence implicating him. Yes, there are some suspicious circumstances pointing in his direction. A lot of the people, the court of public opinion, they believe he had something to do with it. But there is still a possibility, although we may think it's small, that this guy just has horrible luck. And his decision to turn around in that moment is something that he regrets every single day. And maybe, just maybe, he's living with the guilt that if he had been closer to her, not only would he potentially been able to intervene and help her, but he wouldn't be under this cloud of suspicion as we sit here today. So I always try to put myself in their shoes, and I always want to put that disclaimer out there. And I'm not just saying it as a qualifier. There is still a possibility that Jim had nothing to do with Barbara's disappearance, regardless of how unlikely it may appear to be. So where does that leave us with all of this? Because a lot of time has passed and the people involved in this case are getting older. We need someone to come forward. I do think that the two males who have not been identified yet, we need to find them. Hopefully they're still out there. They were relatively young at the time when this all occurred. So barring any unforeseen circumstances, they're still out there. And so if you're watching on video, please take a look at the sketch that we have up here. We also have the descriptions. We're looking to identify these guys. According to law enforcement, they are not considered suspects, but they could help narrow down what happened in Barbara's case. So we're really hoping to find them, whether it's they come forward on their own or someone who knows them does. Please do the right thing. Yes, it's been a long time, but it's not too late. And then maybe there's other witnesses out there, someone who knew these guys or was in the area or was part of that construction crew. Who knows? If you have information, please come forward, because it's not going to be science or technology that solves this case. It's going to be community participation. So just to recap, 55-year-old Barbara Bolick was last seen at approximately 11:35 a.m. on July 18, 2007, while hiking near Bear Creek Overlook in Montana's Bitterroot National Forest. According to the only witness, Barbara was just 20 to 30 feet behind him when he turned away for less than a minute, and when he looked back, she was gone. Despite extensive searches, investigators found no sign of Barbara, her belongings, or any evidence of a struggle, foul play, or animal activity. More than 19 years later, Barbara remains missing, and investigators continue searching for answers. If you have any information, please contact the Montana Missing Persons Clearinghouse at 406-444-2800. And I'll just start by adding to that and saying, if you have information about these two unidentified males, or if you are one of the two males, I am offering a $10,000 reward if you come forward and provide information. I don't know if the $15,000 reward is still out there or not. If it is, great. You can collect two. But if you know who these guys are and you can link us to them, or if you're one of the two guys and you want to come forward and tell us what you know about that day, I'll give you 10 grand. Take a couple hours of your time. If you don't know anything, that's fine. But we at least want to check you off the board and make sure we gather as much information as possible from you, because you really could be the key to cracking this case. As always, my final words do go out to the friends and family of Barbara and Carl, who's no longer with us. I don't know what remaining relatives are around, but there was a lot of people affected by this case, including the community. And so we need answers. I know looking up Bear Creek Overlook, it's still a popular area. A lot of hikers are out there, and it's a beautiful location, a spot I would love to visit one day. But for me, there is this cloud over it because of what I do. And it would be hard for me to enjoy that trail knowing what potentially happened on it. And even though Carl is no longer with us and more than likely reunited with Barbara, Donna and Jim are still here. And that can go one of two ways. If Jim had something to do with what happened to Barbara, he can still be held accountable. But if he's innocent, we can still clear his name. And that is just as important. I hope we get answers sooner than later, but until then, please, everyone stay safe out there, and I'll see you soon.